Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 28, Let Me See My Private Cloud. Here we go. Today, my guest is Ryan Stolte. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
So, Ryan, you and I kind of got introduced through a mutual connection, and you know, we were kind of amazed by the cool stuff you are doing. Can you take a moment and explain, what you work, who you work for, and what you do?
Sure. First of all, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and always excited to hear that people are finding our stuff cool and useful. And specifically, what we're doing is I work for a company called Bay Dynamics. Bay Dynamics is an IT solutions provider that's in our 10th year of business. And for the first several years, we focused on implementing IT management in information security solutions. And as time went on, we ended up merging together a lot of what we were doing, implementing system management solutions out at customers, with some kind of groundbreaking analytics technologies out there using OLAP cubes to make it a lot easier and faster for large data sets to be interacted with by end users out there. And so what we've done is introduced a product called IT Analytics. And what IT Analytics is really focused on doing is providing OLAP cubes and different ways you can use those cubes to make it very easy to drag and drop your way to views of your IT data in circumstances where you otherwise would have had to write SQL queries or build reports that could have taken a long time to do. And so I think what brings us here today is we've got a new offering, IT Analytics from Microsoft System Center, that we're very excited about. And one of the biggest hits that we've had out there with customers is with System Center Operations Manager customer, and specifically customers that are implementing private clouds and capturing a lot of data about those private clouds. And comes down to the point where they need to start figuring out how is my cloud performing, the host infrastructure, the actual virtual machines, the end-to-end process. And having all that information in a database is what Ops Manager is really good at. Companies like Veeam have technologies that produce a lot of very valuable information that gets in Ops Manager, but visualizing that data and using it to make good decisions and easily interacting with it, that's really what the cubes within IT Analytics are designed to do. And so, that's what we're doing at Bay Dynamics. That's our focus for today. And, we're excited to be here talking about it.
Yeah, and, there's so much data out there, and I encourage everyone to check out Bay Dynamics. They're on Twitter at ITAMSC and baydynamics.com. And Ryan writes quite a bit of stuff on the Bay Dynamics blog, which is at www.baydynamics.com/blog. And I'm looking at that now, and one of the examples is like a System Center Management Pack optimized for Dell servers, for example, and it's reporting all the power usage as a graph across all these different hours and all these different averages and numbers of servers. I mean, this is rich data. So, I mean, the data is there in all of these management packs, right? You're just really presenting it in different ways that can be, readily usable, easy to read without, any complex work. It looks like you could put it in the category of voodoo magic, yeah?
And that's kind of what people think as soon as we show it to them is we can talk about IT Analytics, but, as soon as somebody sees it, they say, I didn't even know I could do that before. And so there's just the status quo around getting data out of databases is I need to build a report. I need to write a SQL query to get that data out. The problem with that is, anyone who can write a SQL query that knows the schemas of these, very large and complex databases has a lot of value to offer the organization. And, usually companies are engaging outside consultants for this, or they've got their, most talented resources writing reports for them. And, what we've really set out to do with our cubes in IT Analytics is lower the bar. Is if I, have a great understanding of what data should be in Ops Manager, for example, I know what I'm looking for. If I can just in a couple seconds, configure a report that would have otherwise taken me, you know, hours or days to pull together, you know, that's saving me a lot of time and energy. And so we're hearing from customers out there, again, you know, very large organizations, a lot of consulting companies, actually, that are implementing solutions for their customers are saying, I can use IT analytics to leave my customer in a better state. They are empowered to interact with the data on their own, and they don't have to call me every time they want a new report. And so it's literally, you know, the magic is in the cubes, really. And what we're doing is we're taking advantage of a piece of SQL Server that most customers have never really used. So that piece of SQL Server is called Analysis Services. And what we find out there is, you know, everyone sees Analysis Services when they're installing their database engines, but nobody really knows what to do with it. And so that's specifically the piece of SQL Server that we're taking advantage of. Is Analysis Services is a new type of database where we can host OLAP cubes. And so that's it with IT Analytics is, you know, we know the data's out there, so you've got things like Configuration Manager, things like Operations Manager. We have IT Analytics offerings for other products like Symantec for their endpoint management or antivirus products right now. In fact, IT Analytics is included out of the box with Symantec's flagship antivirus product. So if you buy Symantec Endpoint Protection or you have that, you already own IT Analytics. And so, you know, we've been very fortunate to see the adoption of IT Analytics stick up and that voodoo magic really kind of take shape. So we went from, you know, nobody knowing what a cube was to people are, once they've seen IT Analytics, they start implementing it out there, you know, it becomes a standard way to do business. And you know, we've got a lot of customers that wouldn't do their reporting any other way.
Well, that brings up a good question because, the data's there. I'm not by any means a database administrator. I mean, I guess I'm dangerous in the database is the short answer. But, you know, if we're leveraging the database to do all of this work, you know, the layperson may ask, why do we need System Center in the middle? If we're getting it from, say, VMware vCenter or, you know, some of those other tools that you mentioned, can we just go directly to those environments to, you know, build these OLAP cubes and, you know, leverage SQL Server Analysis Services? Or does System Center Operations Manager make it easy for us?
Yeah, System Center Operations Manager does make it easy for us, and that's a great question. Is there's technologies out there that are really good at harvesting information. Ops Manager is a key technology. There's such a huge install base out there and such a huge community of partners that are developing management packs for Operations Manager so that it can identify information that's important to, you know, customers from all different shapes and sizes with all different types of technologies. So Ops Manager is really a great hub and warehouse for that information. And we're seeing customers that are pulling data from all kinds of different heterogeneous environments out there, from Microsoft private clouds to VMware infrastructures, you know, to Oracle databases, to worrying about SQL Server capacity management. But Ops Manager is really a great tool to, you know, be the central point for all that information. And that's why we've targeted System Center and Operations Manager specifically with our latest offerings of IT Analytics is because it does such a great job of harvesting that information. Now, that said, that's really where IT Analytics comes into play is I know I'm collecting all this information, but when it comes down to making a decision or something happen or I'm looking for a trend or a pattern, it's very difficult to get at all that information. And that's not just, an issue with Ops Manager. That's just large databases as a whole is how do I visualize this data? How do I interact with it? How do I perform, you know, what we call forensic analysis? So I'm like interviewing the data. Is I ask one question, and then immediately when I get the answer to that, a new question pops in my mind. Well, I'd like to see it from this other angle, or what about this next set of data, or can I refine it that way? And that's really where you run into the roadblocks with traditional reporting. And Ops Manager uses other pieces of SQL Server, the piece called Reporting Services, to render data out. But again, that's a fantastic tool for rendering reports. But still, in order to be able to interact with the data more effectively, that's where Microsoft and the other database vendors are really evangelizing this OLAP cube technology. OLAP cubes are kind of the answer for IBM's major databases, Oracle, and Microsoft. They're all investing heavily in evangelizing. If you want to do large data analysis, you want to do aggregate reporting, key performance indicators, ad hoc reporting, that's where Cube's come into play. And IT Analytics, you know, we're in the position right now where, you know, we've been a leader in applying that OLAP technology to system management and information security data out there in the enterprise.
So these cubes, and I definitely get the value, and I see how they're, you know, a really good way to get detailed information about ridiculous amounts of data that are in these data warehouses from these management packs. But these cubes, I mean, do you run them on a client app? Do you run them through a web page? A little bit of both? I mean, because the screenshots we have look like it's a Windows app. But I mean, is that the builder or is that like the viewer? I mean, how does one, like, you know, do you send it out to business owners? Is it like, you know, in a case like VMware and Hyper-V stuff, is that, do you find like the infrastructure admins looking at some of these, you know, cubes on aggregate, or is it like a network operations center, or a little bit of both, and how is it used?
Great question. And there's lots of different ways to interact with data once it's in the cubes. And I think so that's kind of the middle part that's missing, is there's a lot of different, you know, reporting platforms, dashboarding platforms. There's SharePoint has lots of capabilities, including Performance Point. There's Cognos, there's Business Objects, there's reporting services. There's other companies that are a little bit smaller in that dashboarding space. And so there's lots of different tools out there that are dashboard designers or report generators and things like that. And then there's lots of different relational databases out there. And so what we're doing is plugging the middle and saying, okay, we're building a layer of OLAP cubes, and we're going to make it really easy to install and own, so I don't have to be an OLAP expert to get those in my customers' hands. And that's been where we've focused most of our efforts with IT Analytics, is building great cubes and building the distribution mechanism so that customers can get them up and running and it can handle the difference in you know, whatever various implementations they have. So, you know, all ops manager implementations don't look the same. And so, you know, we needed to be able to accommodate for that. But once those cubes are present, we can interact with them in many different ways. Is we've got a front end on a System Center console that allows you to use a Windows client to drag and drop your way in a pivot table fashion. There's a lot of reporting services reports. There's scorecards out of the box, again, all within a System Center framework that you can look at and see top-level key performance indicators. But then outside of System Center, all these other dashboard technologies, many of them are already trained to work with SQL Server cubes. So, you know, SharePoint is a major platform for consuming this information. That's what a lot of customers that we have are using, is they're saying, look, I want to host the dashboard on my SharePoint intranet. And with SharePoint 2010, there's a piece in the box now with SharePoint Enterprise called Performance Point. And that's a way that you can, you know, drag and drop your way to charts and graphs and tables, host them on SharePoint, but then they continue to be interactive, as you can slice and dice them directly from within a web browser. So that's one technology. In the reporting platform there, SQL Server Reporting Services continues to be a primary way you're going to get data out of the cubes. And the difference there is, for anyone that's using reporting services now, instead of writing a query, you can literally drag and drop fields from cubes to build the data sets for reporting services. So you can get all those nice pretty charts and graphs and trend lines and things like that, but you don't have to do the programming anymore. So you're taking advantage of reporting services to get out that data. And then finally, Excel is what Microsoft considers as the primary cube browser out there. So again, you know, as you probably saw in the screenshots from some of our blog posts out there, we're inside a System Center console, dragging and dropping, but you can click on the Go to Excel button, and it'll launch that same view directly within Excel. I can apply role and scope-based security, so whoever opens that document will see only the data that we want them to see, down to individual slices of data, but they can continue to interact with it. So, you know, if we were building cubes as a consultancy out there with customers, we would probably use reporting services for some predefined reports, SharePoint for dashboards that are going to be hosted out there for lots of people to interact with. And Excel is the way that people are going to drag and drop and interact with those cubes. And again, lots of third-party companies out there have cube browsers as well. But those are, you know, so really when we enter in a customer environment, we have the ways out of the box in the System Center console. People can get at that and drag and drop their way. But really, we're just using the standard tools that are already in business users and administrators' hands. And they're able to use those tools to interact with cubes. They're all good at interacting with cubes. There's just not a lot of cubes out there in software that exist for them to kind of take advantage of. And so we don't really have to introduce any new technologies for them to get the data out of the cubes.
Get in. That's wicked data delivery. So, you know, you said you don't want to have, this is back to your earlier point, and you kind of brought it up now, you don't want to have your most talented resources in an organization crafting out, you know, custom SQL Server reporting services sheets that, you know, you put a lot of work into and honestly aren't that flexible. This, you know, throws all that out the window in that you can distribute it easily with that SharePoint Performance Point integration you mentioned, easily build these out-of-the-box, you know, cube frameworks. I mean, just throw out a number. If you know what you're doing, you could build something usable, what, in like half an hour?
I mean, as far as interacting with cubes go, is you take the most complicated use case is I want something out of the ops manager data warehouse, and I want to look at performance data. There's so many criteria that you have to think about. What management pack? What do I even want to look at? Which hosts do I want to look at? What specific counters do I want to look at? What date ranges do I want to look at? There's lots of criteria to look for. You can literally drag and drop your way to those answers almost as fast as you can ask the questions out loud. So I can get down to saying, you know, I want to look at the, you know, for the last 30 days, I want to see, you know, what the CPU utilization is on this set of VMware hosts. With data that I've acquired through management packs, you know, through the NWorks management packs. I want to see that for this set of hosts over this period of time, and I want to visualize that in a chart. And you can do that all in less than 60 seconds. You know, you could ask questions about, let me see the performance, you know, or the, you know, total capacity of certain data stores, you know, for VMware implementations out there. Let me see that over time. Let me go try to identify you know, data stores that are you know, frequently used now, and they're starting to be used up, and maybe I need to look at adding more capacity. You literally drag and drop your way as fast as you can ask the questions, and that's the value of the cube. Is the reason they interact so fast is a fundamental quality of the cube. Is I can mine what otherwise would be very large queries against a relational database. When I drag and drop that data into my pivot tables to look at those pieces of information, the cubes have already kind of figured out all the possible combinations I could ask. So I'm getting immediate gratification as I drag in, you know, I want to see this date range, and immediately everything pops up, even in an extremely large environment. So that, again, is, you know, you're talking very complicated reports in under 60 seconds. So, you know, we've had administrators tell us that we wipe out the first 4 hours of every day that they use compiling service levels and investigating their environment, running queries and running reports and going to all different places. It's kind of like that single starting point. As I start here and I just start dragging and dropping around, within 10 minutes, I've done a ton of analysis on what's happened in the last several days or week. So, you know, it's the time to create these reports is, you know, almost as fast as you can come up with a question.
And then the time to actually, you know, do the crunching to build it, it goes pretty quick. And, you know, one important distinction is that this is happening outside of the, say, production system. So if you're building cubes based off of VMware data, you're not pounding away at your vCenter connection, right?
That's very true. Very true. And that's a great point. Is what happens is, in order to query data, at some point, the data is pulled out of whatever database it lives in, and it's processed and it's put in a cube. It all happens off the production system. So whereas today, if I had 10 people running a report against a regular relational database or an ops manager database, that query would run 10 times, and it's going to have, you know, 10 times that query burden on the database. And maybe that report in a large environment takes 5 minutes to run, you know, maybe it's 1 minute, whatever it is. But what we do with the cube is on a schedule, and that schedule can be anything you want, it'll go run that same query, essentially, that a report would have run, but it'll only run it once on a schedule. It'll process everything on a separate instance, usually, you know, according to best practice, we've got separate infrastructure that's hosting and processing data. So you only get one query running against that source database instead of the 10, or however many user requests you're getting for reports. And then all subsequent requests are going to go against those cubes. And it's already answered the question. So the response speed to the end user speeds up considerably. So instead of waiting that 1 minute or 5 minutes for a report in a large environment, they're going to get immediate response from querying the cube. And all the back-end kind of processing happens without them seeing it. Furthermore, you know, because we have less requests against the original database, operationally, we're kind of letting that database do what it was designed to do, so out there servicing clients or whatever it was. So you reduce the burden significantly by taking large, complex queries off of that relational database and shifting over to the cubes.
With a cube, you know, what would you say is the biggest limitation with these types of views? I mean, it looks pretty rich and you know, thorough to me, but you know, what can you say is the one thing, you know, that, you know, it can't do or isn't the right use case for something like a cube?
That's a great question. I think, you know, classic database programmers, when they start learning about cubes, they get really excited because it is very cool technology. And I think what a lot of people end up doing is they say, this is a totally fundamentally different way. I'm going to move everything to cube reporting. And so where cubes don't work well is when you're trying to get down into very fine details. So typically what will happen is we've got a lot of source data and individual records, so individual alerts, and I want to look at the details of those alerts and lots of text descriptions and things like that. That type of reporting down to an individual transaction level and great detail is still best served by relational reports at the end of the day. And so what happens is people try to do too much with the cubes. So cubes are great at finding trends, at aggregating data and saying, you know, how many computers or how many events or what was their performance over time and crunching that data together. But when you want to get down to, you know, what was all of the text descriptions on an alert or something like that, that's not the kind of data you really want to put inside of a cube. And so that's where, you know, again, the big guys like Microsoft are saying, look, these things go together. You don't fundamentally stop doing, you know, you don't move all of your data into your cubes. You do that for aggregate, for slice and dice, for trending, for key performance indicators, et cetera. And you can get a tremendous amount of information out of those cubes, but it's not designed to be a wholesale replacement for your relational database. And again, you know, I think that's the biggest thing that people that are new to cubes try to do is they try to move everything they have from their database into the cubes. The balance really is thinking about how you're going to use the cubes and what are the use case and what the end users actually want to do. And then when I drill down to the details, the cool thing is you can actually link details from within a cube when you get down to individual records. You can link that stuff back into relational data. So if I want to, you know, drill all the way down in a cube really quickly, but I want to, you know, adhere to best practice, and I don't want to put all the little details inside of the cube once I get down to that individual row, I can link that back to, you know, its source database to pull up those details. And so there's good cube design and there's bad cube design. That's certainly something we see a lot of people doing when they're new to cubes, just using cubes for things they're not, you know, putting data in cubes, putting too much data in there, and really slows down performance, makes the cubes far more complex, and they become difficult to use if you implement them wrong. So that's what we've really focused on doing with IoT Analytics is building great cubes for the products that we support. And then the second piece is building a delivery mechanism and a hosting mechanism so that our customers don't have to be great and knowledgeable at administering cubes in order to get them up and running in their environment. I think that's another thing that people struggled with is people create cubes But there's just not that many people out there that know a tremendous amount about analysis services and how to care and feed for cubes. So that's been the trick for us, is to create very good cubes that solve the business need, but on the other hand is create an environment where it becomes, you know, all the technology under the hood and hosting and managing and installing and configuring cubes is really made very simple for our customers.
Well, you bring up a good point, because the only interaction I've ever had with cubes was with, you know, a popular product that, you know, everybody's heard of, and it wasn't a good series of experiences. And, you know, as an admin, it was one of my least favorite categories of infrastructure. So if we can look at doing it any way better, I'm all ears. Good stuff. Well, hey, let's transition to the next part of our podcast, Ryan. I do have a gimmick, and every first-time guest is subject to the gimmick. And my gimmick is called Three Views from You. I'm going to ask you three questions based at different points in time, one in the past, one in the present, and one looking towards the future. So I'll start with the past. So, Ryan, as a technologist, generally speaking, what's the coolest story or experience technology-wise that you can share with us?
That's a very interesting question. And so, you know, there's probably a lot of things that I could pull from there. But I think I'm going to, you know, attach to the last thing you just said there is you know, as I mentioned, Betadynamics is 10 years old. And the first part of our life as Betadynamics, we're out there implementing solutions for, you know, other systems management products or what are large enterprise software out there. And some of those actually had attempts at using cubes in them. And that's where we learned a lot about cubes and got a lot of field experience implementing cubes. I was the guy out there that was putting the pain in place. And it really became a problem. The problem was it was extremely difficult to get the cube-based systems up and running. It was extremely difficult for our customers to own those solutions. I mean, as soon as we walked out the door, you know, we had trained somebody, but if anything went wrong or the person we trained left the organization, they were pretty much stuck. So, and that was the end of it. And so we had a lot of failed implementations, a lot of frustration out there. And so when we, you know, one of the what I consider the coolest opportunities that we've had is we looked around and said, somebody needs to address this. Why is it so difficult? Why can't we build, you know, somebody needs to create an environment that makes this a lot easier for customers to implement and own cubes. And that's what we really set out to do is you know, we had built great cubes. We found ourselves doing a lot of consulting, building cubes for our customers out there. But there was no way to get it out into lots of customers' hands without a lot of complexity. And so we sat down my team and I, you know, worked out a way to actually package up what we call IT analytics packs and build this platform that made it really easy for customers to install and own cubes. And so, you know, I have to say is, you know, attacking that challenge firsthand and say, you know what, nobody else is doing anything about this. We're going to do something about this. And then, you know, we first rolled out IT analytics using this platform in 2007. By 2010, like I said, is we're in the box with some major commercial products out there. We've got add-ons for other major commercial products out there. And we've got, you know, thousands of customers using IT analytics in the enterprise out there. And that, you know, so just attacking that problem and seeing it kind of come to fruition, that was definitely the coolest thing that I've ever done.
Cool. Well, how about right now in the present tense, you know, what's going on that you're most interested in or that you have the most passion for right now?
I think the thing that I'm most interested in and what keeps me going right now is attacking, you know, the present problems is how do we use analytics out there in private cloud environments specifically. And I think that we're primed for this opportunity is there's never really been a time where we've had so much data and so little insight out there. And, you know, our present problem, the thing that keeps me going is trying to help people and find creative ways to take advantage of this analytics technology to get more insight in customers' hands. I mean, it was hard enough before we really started seeing you know, everyone adopting virtual infrastructure is you know, within the last 10 years, the amount of data that we've started capturing and storing in IT has grown exponentially. And what do we do about it typically? Is we say, well, you know, we can't retain this much data, our systems are too slow, so we purge it. And that's just not a good answer out there, especially, you know, we're looking at just hardware, just regular computers out there. But couple that with virtual infrastructure, you know, we've got a whole other dimension to capturing data, and it just makes it that much more difficult for people to get insight into what they're doing. And what we're finding out there is a lot of our customers are implementing private cloud solutions. They're you know, head first into virtualization, and they don't really feel like they're getting the return on the investment. It sounds great, but they're spending a lot of money, and at the end of the day, they're looking back and saying, I don't feel like I'm managing my capacity. I don't feel like I had more capacity than I did before. I don't feel like I'm getting better performance than before. They're not getting that, you know, that everybody wants is that positive ROI, right? And that's the thing that's really exciting me right now is taking on kind of, you know, all the hype around virtualization and private cloud, but actually turning it into a profitable, or, you know, let people come out on the positive side of ROI by getting better insight into what's happening in the virtual infrastructure. And so, you know, that's something I'm very passionate about right now. That's something we're working very closely with our partners and our customers on, you know, helping people get the most out of their virtual infrastructure by getting good insight and making good decisions.
How about into the future? You know, what do you see coming down longer term that you'll have the most interest in?
I'll stay with the analytics theme here, but there's some things that are just emerging right now, and it's predictive analytics, and I'm really excited about predictive analytics, and it's where we can do a couple things. And so there's all these, you know, data mining and statistical models out there that you can use on top of cubes that will analyze the data and do things like forecasting. So, you know, it's one thing in Ops Manager today, I've collected all this data around disk space usage and capacity and whatnot. I've collected a lot of alerts and based on the rules that I've put in place. But being able to forecast what disks are going to fail based on usage patterns and being able to kind of look out over a set of performance data and look out to the future with some level of reliability and say, this is what we think is going to happen. Let's go, you know, this set of infrastructure is going to run out of capacity. But there's a lot of cool technology in the predictive analytics space that we're really looking forward to. And I think that's something that we're going to be focused on a lot in 2012 is how to take advantage of this technology to let people see into the future a little bit and look for capacity issues with more reliability than they have today. That's one part of the predictive analytics that I'm looking forward to. And the other thing is it's kind of like the, you know, Netflix approach of other people that watch this film also liked these other movies, right? And being able to profile an environment is without putting in any rules, you can run predictive analytics models on a set of data, and it will say, you know, machines of this profile or services with this profile are the most likely to have performance issues. And so it kind of takes, we're applying this technology to go find patterns that we didn't explicitly put in by hand to help us identify trouble areas. And that, again, that's just really kind of, you know, forward-thinking stuff. So typically today we have to go write rules to look for things, but if we can apply this predictive analytics to go find the things that are most likely to, you know, cause issues based on what it's seen just in the environment as a whole, that's some pretty cool stuff. I'm excited about that.
Oh yeah, it's definitely exciting, and I think that if you haven't checked out, you know, some of this stuff, definitely mosey on over to baydynamics.com/blog and just look at some of these representations. I mean, it's wicked cool stuff, guys, that's for sure. So, hey, Ryan, that's going to wrap it up here today. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today. And if you have any questions on the podcast, you can send an email to podcast@veeam.com, or you can throw something out on Twitter to Veeam. And Bay Dynamics is on Twitter at ITAMSC. Ryan, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.